Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio, where we bring you information about Minnesota's National Guard, the military community, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon Program, and Department of Veterans Affairs. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phalon Partners Limited, a Twin Cities merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is also a Vietnam veteran of the United States Air Force and a member of the VFW and American Legion. Now, here's Tom Lyons.
Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we'll take a look at the lasting effects of combat on our troops and their families, and we'll learn about the month of the military child. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Rick Nash.
For the last 12 years, the soldiers and airmen of the Minnesota National Guard have contributed to the nation's defense as a full partner with our active duty counterparts. Our guardsmen have deployed more than 26,000 times to support missions across our globe. We now have the best trained and best equipped force we've ever had. Our soldiers and airmen demonstrate their commitment to our organization through hard work and consistently maintaining our readiness levels above Army and Air standards. This significant investment in the training and equipping of our National Guard as an operational force has greatly improved our ability to support domestic operations across the state during emergencies. When disaster strikes, the citizens of Minnesota count on the National Guard to be ready and equipped to respond to our neighbors in distress. Whether we are responding to floods, wildfires, or blizzards, the Minnesota National Guard must remain always ready to answer the call from our state, our communities, and our nation.
Thank you, General Nash. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining us now is Dr. Melissa Pelusny from the Minneapolis VA Healthcare Center. Dr. Pelusny, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you.
It's been a while since you've been on the show, ma'am, and I know that you've been involved in working with the Minnesota National Guard for a long time, but could you tell us about your position at the Minneapolis VA healthcare system and how long you've been here?
Sure. Yes, I'm a staff psychologist in the post-traumatic stress recovery program and also an investigator, and I lead up a project called the Readiness and Resilience in National Guard Soldiers Project.
Commonly referred to as RINGS.
That's right.
We usually don't use acronyms, but that's easier today, so we'll use that one.
Right.
So, and how long have you been at the Minneapolis VA?
So I've been at the VA for probably 12 years now, since 2000. So actually 14 years now.
Yeah. And I go out there, as a lot of our listeners know, and it's a beautiful place. They do a great job. You must be happy out there.
It's a wonderful place. Yeah.
And getting a lot of good work done out there.
We are. It's very supportive, and it's good to be able to do something meaningful to give back.
Well, Dr. Pelusny, the last time you were on, we were talking about the RINGS study, the first RINGS study. Mm-hmm. Could you tell us what that is and who you followed? I know you followed a deployment to the Minnesota National Guard.
Yeah. So the first RINGS study goes all the way back to 2005. I was working with Chaplain Morris and working on a committee that involved thinking about how we would be able to make a smooth transition as National Guard soldiers came back and may need services at the VA. And as part of kind of those early discussions, it led to the idea of we really need to learn more about the impact of deployment on soldiers and to try to understand better what helps soldiers to be resilient after they faced combat. And so we ended up designing a study that took us to Camp Shelby, Mississippi, and we surveyed about 500 soldiers before they deployed to Iraq from the Red Bulls Brigade. And then we followed them up when they returned and over a period of several years. So
that went back to a deployment, what was it, 2005?
2006, 2007.
Six and seven.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And when you started at Camp Shelby, your interviews were, you interviewed that many soldiers?
Yeah, so we that would be a lot of soldiers to actually interview in person. So we designed some measures, questionnaires that soldiers filled out. They come by during their training and fill out the questionnaire and gave us permission to contact them later and follow up with them. And so we learned about how they were doing at that time as they were getting ready to deploy, what their concerns were and a lot of information about their background that would help us to try to understand what are some of the important factors that really help soldiers to be resilient when they face a combat deployment.
So those initial discussions and forms they filled out were about what kind of shape they were in before they left.
Exactly. And that's a rare opportunity to be able to do that kind of work, and wouldn't have been possible if we hadn't been working so closely with the Minnesota National Guard. There's very little information out there about people who end up experiencing traumatic events like a combat situation, where you've had a chance to talk with them or to interview them or understand about their background and their experiences before that situation.
Now, were you able towards during and after that deployment to follow up with some of those soldiers?
Right. So we have been thankful that so many soldiers continued to participate in rings. We had a tremendous response and followed up soldiers when they first got back. And then a year later and 2 years later and learned how the reintegration process was going for them, what kinds of challenges were coming up, what they were experiencing. We continued to screen for mental health concerns that they might have and their use of services. Did they go to the VA? Did they get help? What was helpful? That kind of thing.
We're speaking with Dr. Melissa Pelusny from the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System on Minnesota Military Radio. So, Doctor, when you were on the last time, we had some preliminary findings from the first ring study. Can you tell us the type of things that we learned? I think it must have been very useful for the Adjutant General and his staff.
Right. Well, one of the things that I think is important to highlight is that we learned that most soldiers who were in the study, who deployed, really came back and were not experiencing mental health problems. Most were what we call resilient. They might have had some stressors that they experienced, but they bounced back. And I think that's really an important finding, because there's so much focus on PTSD and all the problems and challenges. And yes, that occurred for some, but it was a small percentage that experienced those kinds of problems. And
so for business owners and the general public that are out there, a lot of folks seem to think that veterans have trouble. But you found that the large majority came back and they're in great shape.
The vast majority really followed over a 2 year period of time after returning from deployment a pattern of or a trajectory that we call resilient. So they didn't experience a lot of symptoms over time, even though they might have been exposed to combat and all kinds of stressors during that deployment. So that was really good news.
So, Doctor, did you find any correlation between family and maybe financial issues and those that were susceptible to post-traumatic stress?
Yeah, so this was really interesting, and I guess it's not too surprising. It's, of course, family's really important to soldiers, and family support is important to soldiers, but that turned out to be one of the biggest predictors, even after you kind of accounted for the stressors of being in a combat zone. How families were doing during the deployment and how concerned soldiers were about their families back home was a very important predictor of who had trouble after they returned from deployment. So that was an important finding for us, and it really shed a lot of light for us on how important it is to think about what families are doing and what they need.
Doctor, as I recall, there was a little difference between male and female soldiers on that deployment.
Yeah, so we did find that the rates of PTSD were higher for women than for men, and we also found that there were some factors that influenced women differently in terms of their risk for having PTSD problems after the deployment. So, and we were surprised that combat exposure was related to increased risk for both women and men, but there were some really unique differences about kind of the experiences during deployment that accounted for some of those differences.
And Doctor, I believe the last time you were on, I know that we knew that there was another deployment coming up, and that's come and gone. We had another 2,700 soldiers go over and come home, and you learned a lot from the first ring study, but you had a whole list of questions that you wanted to learn, and you did another ring study, didn't you?
That's kind of that way research goes. I think you learn important things, but maybe perhaps the most important is you learn new things you need to know. And one of the things that came out of the first ring study, and we talked with the National Guard about this, was this issue of how important families were and how important family support was for soldiers. And yet there's very little information out there about how families do experience deployments. There's lots of anecdotal information, but there's not good systematic information that can be used to develop programs and supports for military families. And that was one of our goals, is to understand the experiences of family members over the course of a whole deployment, so that to understand kind of who is doing well, who's having challenges, and to identify if we could predict that. And then that information we can use to develop better supports for families.
And Doctor, I know about the time of when the first study was over and the second one was starting, the Beyond the Yellow Ribbon program started for the Minnesota National Guard, and now we've got over 200 communities involved in
it.
And the amount of support for the families now is just tremendous.
Exactly. And that's been, I think that's really important that that's occurred. And one of the things that came out of some of the findings that we had was the idea that family prep academies before soldiers and families deploy can be really important tools and resources for families, so they know what to expect and
where to go for help.
Yeah, exactly. So that was an important addition as well.
Well, General Nash and the leadership of the Minnesota National Guard must have been really interested in the findings of Ring One study. And, Doctor, we have to take a short break. Okay. When we come back, I want to ask you about what you learned in the Rings Two study, because you followed the families and the soldiers.
Yes.
We've been speaking with Dr. Melissa Pelusny from the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons, and we've been speaking with Dr. Melissa Pelusny from the Minneapolis VA Healthcare Center about the RINGS study, RINGS 1 and RINGS 2. And, Doctor, can you tell me one more time the acronym RINGS? What does that stand for?
Right. So RINGS stands for Readiness and Resilience in National Guard Soldiers.
And once again, the first study was a study of about 500 Minnesota National Guard soldiers that deployed.
Right. That was started back in 2006, before they deployed to Iraq.
And it was quite a study, and it had to be a wonderful tool for the leadership of the Minnesota National Guard. And from that, you had a lot more questions and a lot more things that you wanted to learn, and you were able to do a second ring study with the 2,700 Minnesota National Guard Red Bull soldiers that were deployed once again.
Right. One of the things that we learned was just how important families are, and family support is to soldiers when they're deployed. And yet in the first ring study, we didn't hear from families. We only heard from soldiers. And so in the RINGS 2 study, working again with the Minnesota National Guard, we developed a project where we could survey both soldiers before they deployed, and also hear from family members. So spouses and partners participated in the study. There was 2,000 soldiers that participated in this project, and about half of them had spouses or partners that were also part of the study. And we kept in touch with soldiers and partners from the beginning, before they deployed, during their deployment, and then after they returned from their deployment.
Now, Doctor, were there certain things you were looking for? You must have had some questions from the first study.
Yeah, I mean, we were really interested in how a family's well-being over the course of a deployment, how that is impacted by stressors that they might be experiencing at home, and then also how the family's well-being impacts the soldier, the veteran, when they return. And you've heard stories probably about how some families do really well during a deployment. They've maybe this is their second or third deployment. They've got it down. They know what to do, and they get through it really well. And then you also hear about families where things kind of fall apart during a deployment, and the soldier finds himself really worrying a lot about what's going on at home, and can my spouse, my partner, take care of things. And so what we tried to look at is how these outcomes over time would then impact the veteran. And we learned quite a bit about that.
Now, Doctor, by the time that big deployment, the 2,700 Red Bulls, there was widespread support across Minnesota with the BeyondTheYellowRibbon.org programs.
Mm-hmm.
That has to have made a difference. Did you see any evidence of that?
Well, yeah, I think so. One of the things that we found was that really the vast majority of partners, family members, were doing very well during the deployment. So in terms of whether they were experiencing symptoms of depression or substance abuse concerns, or just their functioning socially, how they were doing. While we maybe saw a little blip during the deployment that that might have been related to increased stressors, overall, the vast majority were doing very well and not experiencing serious problems during that deployment.
Now, Doctor, today with the technology we've got, the deployed soldiers, men and women, mm-hmm. know instantly what's going on back home.
Right.
And if you're out doing a mission, and they were out escorting the mm-hmm. Our troops out of Iraq, and they were out on missions all the time, millions of miles, mm-hmm. that has to make a difference, doesn't it?
Right. And you know, there's definitely a group of family members who are struggling and that need extra help and need support. And we did find that when families were really having a difficult time back home, that impacted the veteran, and the soldier, and they were more likely to have problems with PTSD or depression, substance abuse when they returned from their deployment.
So this really proves up that all the organizations back here in Minnesota that are doing things to help the families really take the pressure off of our deployed soldiers and airmen.
Absolutely. The more we can figure out how best to support families so that they can then support soldiers is really an important question that we've been working on.
We're speaking with Dr. Melissa Pelusny from the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System on Minnesota Military Radio. Doctor, any key findings from the RINGS 2 study?
Well, I think that probably we're still in the process of looking at this data. We gathered quite a bit of information from soldiers and families, and we're in the very initial stages of looking at that. But one of the things we've learned so far is that there does appear to be different courses that family members follow, so sort of subgroups of families. There's some families that are doing very well across the deployment that are very resilient to these stressors, and there's a small group that's really struggling and is having challenges, experiencing a lot of distress. And then there's a kind of a subgroup who, before the deployment, they maybe were struggling, but they gradually recovered and were doing really well by the end of the deployment.
That would seem like civilian life.
Exactly.
We have ups and downs.
Exactly, we do. But what's important is can you figure out what is influencing those ups and downs so that we can help everyone to be kind of on a pathway that's going smoothly.
Doctor, there's more and more women in the Minnesota National Guard and in the military. Mm-hmm. Did you learn more about the gender differences in RINGS 2?
Well, we've spent some time looking at that in RINGS 1, and we have not yet started to look at that, but that's definitely something that we'll continue to follow up with and try to understand more, especially how deployments for female soldiers, how the role of family kind of interacts with that that experience of being on deployment.
So you've got a lot more data to go through, and I hope you'll come back and share with us what you've learned from it.
Mm-hmm.
Doctor, I understand you're also involved in something called Project Strive.
Yeah. You know, I mentioned that that one of the things we found was that there's a small group of people that are really struggling with PTSD and other kinds of problems. And the Project Strive is a therapy treatment study for veterans who are dealing with both PTSD issues and substance abuse issues. And traditionally, the way mental health providers approach that is they kind of have the idea that we need to solve the chemical dependency problems or the substance abuse problems first before we can work on PTSD problems. But as you know, and you've probably heard veterans talk about, oftentimes people are self-medicating. They're drinking or using drugs because they're suffering from PTSD symptoms. And
which came first?
Exactly. And so what this project is really focused on is helping us to understand which of two programs is the best way to treat PTSD and substance abuse. So this is a project that is underway right now, and veterans are participating in it now, where they're receiving one of two treatment programs that targets both PTSD and substance abuse concerns.
Certainly sounds like a toxic mix and something we need to work on quickly.
Yes.
Dr. Pelusny, we've had a lot of folks on from the VA medical healthcare system in Minneapolis and some from across the country, but it looks like Minneapolis is one of the leading VA medical centers in the country. Is that true?
Well, we certainly are. I think there's a lot of very exciting things going on at the Minneapolis VA. There's a lot of work being done to determine how to better improve our services, and it's an exciting place to be right now with all that's going on.
And I'm sure the leadership of the Minnesota National Guard is really interested in everything you help them with and everything you can learn.
Yeah, I think it's been such a great partnership. And when I talk to my colleagues who are investigators at other places, they ask how are we able to have this collaboration? And I think it's really a testament to the Minnesota National Guard's interest in their service members and families. They want to know what they can do to help. And it's been wonderful that we've been able to do this work and then transfer that knowledge to them so that they can incorporate that in their programs and the decisions that they're making.
And it must also help you learn some things that you can apply to all the veterans.
Absolutely. So the work that we're doing, while it's certainly helpful to understanding service members who are in the Guard, all of the information that we've been kind of learning also translates into how we need to be providing better services for veterans.
Doctor, this is all fascinating, and I hope to see you back here sometime soon.
Good.
Any final thoughts for our listeners?
Well, you know, as I mentioned, with Project Strive, there are many new evidence-based treatments that are available for veterans, especially veterans that maybe have been suffering with PTSD, other kinds of post-deployment issues for a long time. There are new treatments available, and I hope that if people haven't yet gone to the VA, that they'll come and check us out and take advantage of these new services.
Even some of the old veterans, like my buddies from
Absolutely.
Vietnam, if they're having troubles, you can help them out.
Mm-hmm.
Doctor, thank you for joining us today on Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you.
That was Dr. Melissa Pelusny from the Minneapolis VA Healthcare Center on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. In a moment, we're going to learn about the Month of the Military Child.
Hi, this is Bill Popp of the Minnesota Military Family Foundation. An Army squad is made up of 8 soldiers, and when the squad is on patrol, each soldier is dependent on each other for safety. When a soldier is distracted because of a financial crisis with the family back home, that puts every soldier on the squad at risk. The Minnesota Military Family Foundation helps turn a bad situation into a positive one. The foundation provides financial support during a financial crisis at home. This helps re-energize the soldier. The soldier feels the financial burden lifted and has feelings of pride because of the support from the community at home. When the soldier is no longer focused on the financial crisis at home, the soldier is able to stay engaged in the mission and do his duty to protect other soldiers in the squad. When we help one soldier, we're helping all soldiers. When we help one military family, we're helping all military families. If you're in a position to help, please donate. Go to MinnesotaMilitaryFamilyFoundation.org.
Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In a moment, we're going to talk about the Month of the Military Child. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Larry Shalito.
As I reflect on the sacrifices our Vietnam veterans have made to our country, I'm reminded that it's never too late to pay tribute and honor to those who answered a nation's call in Vietnam. In 2012, President Obama proclaimed the commemoration of the 50th anniversary of the Vietnam War, which will last through 2025. The 13-year program honors and gives thanks to a generation of Americans who saw our country through one of the most challenging missions ever faced. Over the past year, we have participated in the commemoration by partnering with the federal government, private organizations, and communities throughout Minnesota. These partnerships generated some amazing events, such as the flag-raising partnership with the Minnesota Twins, the VFW Ride for Healing, and the Welcome Home Vietnam Veterans Parade at the Minnesota State Fair. These events were a huge success due to the community involvement across the state. To all our Vietnam veterans listening, thank you for your service and welcome home.
Thank you, Commissioner Shalito. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining me now to talk about the Month of the Military Child from the Minnesota National Guard is Captain Marion Belinsky, the State Family Program Director, and Amber Greeley, the Military Kids Program Liaison. Ladies, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good to have you both here today, Captain. April coming up is the Month of the Military Child. Can you tell me about that?
Yes, we're actually very excited to start celebrating April as Month of the Military Child. Governor Dayton has signed the proclamation proclaiming April as Month of the Military Child in Minnesota to help military-connected youth be recognized throughout the state.
And I understand that the governor also has a program where he'll send a letter out to recognize military children.
Yes, that's correct. We work with the Minnesota Department of Veteran Affairs to get a website up so parents can register their children for those letters.
So if the parents of any Minnesota National Guard or Reserves?
It's any military connected. So it can be Army, Air Force, Navy, Marines, Coast Guard, any military connected kid child throughout the state.
Active duty Guard and Reserve.
Exactly.
So if they want to request a letter from the governor to their military child, they can go to Minnesota Military Radio Facebook page, and we'll have a link to the page where they can go register for that.
That's right.
And what's the timing on that, Captain?
They're collecting all of the names throughout the month of April, so the letters won't go out until May, and potentially the latest would be June.
So everybody go look at Minnesota Military Radio Facebook page, click on that link, and get your military child registered sometime in April.
Correct.
Amber, welcome back to the show.
Thank you. It's nice to be back.
I understand you want to talk to me about purpling up.
I do. Across the country, and even here in Minnesota, we have designated April 15th as a Purple Up Day. And so we would encourage everybody across the state and across the country to wear purple. Maybe it's a shirt or a hat or a pin or whatever, but just wear purple to show your support of military kids. And that's April 15th. We'll be doing is the day designated for that. And we'll also be doing an event at the state capitol at the Rotunda. Again, just honoring the military kids and showing support of the sacrifices military kids go through.
So an easy way to do that would be to put on a Minnesota Vikings shirt, because they're a new Yellow Ribbon company in Minnesota.
Right.
And on April 15th, purple up with the Vikings.
That's right.
That works. Captain Belinsky, you've got some other events coming up. I understand there's an art contest.
Yes, that's correct. We are doing our first annual art contest that's being hosted through my office. And we have it broken down into some different age categories. So all different kids and youth can participate. We have the kindergartners through the second grade, third grade through fifth grade, sixth grade through eighth grade, and ninth grade through 12th grade. So basically, it gives the kids an opportunity to visually display what their experience is as a military-connected child and youth.
And once again, go to Minnesota Military Radio Facebook page, and we'll have a link to that. And will there also be information about this at beyondtheyellowribbon.org?
Yes, of course. We have that up on our homepage. It went up today, so I got to see that before I came down here, at www.btyr.org, so beyondtheyellowribbon.org.
Our favorite webpage, and there's all kinds of information there to help military families or to volunteer to help families.
There is all kinds of information, and all the events that are going on in April throughout the state are listed on that webpage. So there's a banner to click on for additional things that we won't have a chance to talk about today.
We're talking about Month of the Military Child with Captain Marion Belinsky from the Minnesota National Guard and Amber Greeley, the Military Kids Program Liaison on Minnesota Military Radio. I want to come back to you, Amber. We want to talk a little bit about youth camps. Summer is coming. The snow is finally going away, isn't it?
We think so. We're not really sure. This summer there's a number of camp opportunities. The National Guard has their youth camp up at Camp Ripley at the end of July and then the first week of August. And then Operation Military Kids is also offering two family camps this summer. So in June, there's one down in Ironwood Springs, June 6th through the 8th. And then at Camp Chaminade near Motley, June 27th through the 29th. And those are, like I said, designed to be family camps. So as long as somebody is in the military and there's a kid between kindergarten through 12th grade in the family, the whole family can come and do different team building activities and really help the families connect with each other and spend time together as a family.
Now, do the military kids like to get together and do this?
Well, the parents probably like it more just for that forced interaction, but the kids do like it. And so the programming is designed for the kids and the parents come along too to be a part of it. But it's just, again, another chance for the kids to see that they're not alone, that since Minnesota, our kids are geographically dispersed, it's nice for them to see that there's other military kids just like them.
Now, Amber, would it be a good idea to get signed up for those camps during the Month of the Military Child?
Absolutely, yep. And all of the registration information is on our Operation Military Kids website. And it's just operationmilitarykids.org, and then you click on Minnesota and you can find the registration information.
And Sergeant Ben, there's another link that you have to put up on our Facebook page for Minnesota Military Radio, and Sergeant Ben does a great job. He'll have that all up. Captain, I want to come back to you. You had a couple other events you wanted to talk about?
Yes, sir. Minnesota is really great at showing their support for the military-connected kids throughout the state. In fact, Senator Franken has a poetry contest because April is also National Poetry Month. So he combines the National Month of the Military Child and the poetry and does a poetry contest. And the winner of that poetry contest gets to have their poem posted in his office in Washington, D.C. And he also does a small little awards banquet in his office to recognize the winner. So that is something that is really unique to Minnesota, is Senator Franken's support of the military-connected kids.
So did the senator do a sample poem that he put up for the kids to look at?
I don't think he did.
Well, we'll have to talk to him about that.
We may have to.
We've got about a minute left. We have to go to break. Captain, are there other events coming up this summer?
There are numerous events that are going to be going on this summer. We try to keep them all on beyondtheyellowribbon.org. Some of the things that are going on in the community specifically in April is a number of the different libraries are also hosting like reading hours where they'll either have a military member come in and read a book to the children for their story time, or where they will select a book that is military friendly to read to the kids and specifically focus on military connected kids. So we've had a great response from local libraries, and also numerous communities are doing different parties within their community to recognize the local military-connected kids throughout the state. I know that Rochester is partnering with their YMCA for a swimming and a pizza party, and the Becker Yellow Ribbon is also doing some crafts with the military-connected kids within their area. And there's so many that's going on that I'm sure I'm missing a bunch, but they will be on our website as well.
They'll also find all those events on our favorite website,
beyondtheyellowribbon.org.
Ladies, we have to take a short break. When we come back, we've got a couple of special guests coming on to talk about the teen panel while we're talking about Month of the Military Child. We've been talking with Captain Marion Belinsky and Amber Greeley. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Hello, I'm Tom Lyons, founder and principal partner of Phelan Partners Limited, a Twin Cities mergers and acquisitions advisory firm where we help business owners to plan, prepare, and execute a strategy to complete the deal. When I'm not hosting Minnesota Military Radio on this station, I'm hard at work helping business owners with their exit strategies. If you're interested in selling a business, please give us a call at 763-231-4200 at Phelan Partners Limited. We've been bringing buyers and sellers together since 1985 and would welcome an opportunity to help you. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons, and we've been talking to Captain Marion Belinsky, the State Family Program Director for the Minnesota National Guard, and Amber Greeley, Military Kids Program, about Month of the Military Child. And Amber, we've got two special guests in the studio today. You want to introduce them for us?
Absolutely. I'd love to. Today we brought with us two of our teens from our Minnesota Military Teen Panel. So these two both have a parent or parents in the military and have chosen to be on our teen panel. So we have Dario Orr and Sierra Stenger.
Dario and Sierra, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Dario, I want to start with you. What does the teen panel do?
The teen panel is basically a group of kids that that live in Minnesota, and they have to join the teen panel and they have to apply. And
Dario, what are the goals of the teen panel?
Basically, it's to welcome and make sure that every teen kid knows that they are, I guess, recognized throughout the state. And
it gives you an opportunity to get together with some other military kids?
Yes. It gives them the chance to, I guess, talk and communicate with others and share their feelings and make sure that they know that what they are feeling, they're not just alone, that there are other kids that feel the same way as they do.
So you can talk to some other military children that have experienced the deployment and one parent gone and gone through some issues that non-military kids don't go through.
Yes, because most likely there are very few kids that you will probably meet throughout your school that have parents in the military. And so what you have to do is basically branch out of your community to meet kids that feel and experience the same feelings you do.
Sierra, what do you like about being on the teen panel?
I really like that we all get together and we do have common things that we can talk about, but also I've learned a lot of like leadership roles through the teen panel. Like, I used to not be able to like talk in front of people, and now I notice taking more of like a leadership role towards like group projects at school, and I like helping people and making people feel like they're not alone.
Sierra, can you tell me about the Teen Summit and what it is?
The Teen Summit is where we go through workshops and leadership and learn a lot of team building. We go through a lot of team building activities, and we all come together, but it's also a lot of fun at the same time that you're learning.
Now, are these other military kids from all over the state?
Yeah.
It's got to be kind of fun to meet some of them, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's interesting seeing everyone's different point of views on things. And different, when you get a big group of people, you're going to have a lot of personalities together in a room, and you have to learn how to work through that.
It's got to be a good experience.
Yeah.
Dario, how long have you been on the teen panel?
I've been on the teen panel for 3 years.
And have you seen changes over those last 3 years?
Yes, we've added more and more members throughout each year, and we've branched out to other communities. We've sent one of our members to the national panel, which is a panel that is located in Washington, D.C., and there are 10 districts in the United States for this national panel. And what they do is basically they fly out to D.C. every, I think, 3 or 4 months, and they plan just basically another teen summit, except it's a national summit that takes place in any state once a year.
So, Dario, have you enjoyed your 3 years on the teen panel?
Yes, I've learned a lot of public speaking skills and all sorts of other leadership roles.
And what would you say to other Minnesota military kids that might be thinking about joining the teen panel?
You can find more information on OperationMilitaryKids.org and BeyondTheYellowRibbon.org. And basically you want to click the teen panel tab, and there's all the information there if you're interested in applying.
Sierra, would you recommend to other military kids to apply for the teen panel?
Definitely. And I think they should go to the Teen Summit and they can see a little bit what it's like to be part of the teen panel.
Any special requirements to be eligible to join the panel?
Well, have a parent or a loved one that is part of the military. And if you go on the website, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, you can find more about how to be a part of it.
BeyondTheYellowRibbon.org, and of course we can go to Minnesota Military Radio Facebook page for some of these links. One last question, Dario. Would you recommend for other military kids to do this?
Yes, it is a great opportunity to meet other kids.
I want to thank you both, Dario and Sierra, for joining us today in Minnesota Military Radio. And Captain Belinsky, just got about a minute left. Any final thoughts about the month of the military child?
Absolutely. I think that it's important to, you know, highlight that, you know, military-connected kids are military-connected kids regardless of what month it is. So it's important to recognize the military kids throughout the year, because just because it's April doesn't mean that they only need to be recognized during April. They can be recognized throughout the year. And also, just to piggyback on one of Dario's comments, it's difficult to recognize military-connected kids because they do look the same as every other child. So sometimes it's more just difficult for them to come forward and self-identify. So I would recommend to have positive events and environments where to make that more conducive, especially since most of the families are geographically dispersed throughout the state of Minnesota.
It's got to be valuable for the some of the military kids to come together at the camps and on the teen panel to talk to other kids that have had the same experiences and maybe the same issues.
Exactly. Just that opportunity to connect with a peer that's going through the same experience that they are, because teens connect with one another on a different level than what they connect with a parent or even with another adult on.
Captain Amber, Sierra, Dario, thanks for joining us today on Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Joining me now is the Scott County Veteran Service Officer, Todd Kaminsky. Todd, welcome back to the show. I think you're getting to be one of our most frequent guests.
Well, I enjoy every time I'm on, Tom, so thanks for having me.
Well, you've usually got a great message for our veterans. What are we going to talk about today?
Well, the big thing I'd like to talk about today, and I may have mentioned it in a previous episode, the VA now has a new program called the Veterans Administration Dental Insurance Program. As most of our vets know, you cannot get dental from the VA. You can't get dental services unless you're 100% service-connected disabled or has suffered a dental trauma event while in the service. Recognizing that our veterans who are getting primary care at the VA medical center that don't meet that criteria still would like to have some type of dental insurance to help cover those costs, the VA came up with this program, and It's run through either Delta Dental or MetLife. You have your choice of either company. And if you go to their website or you give them a call, they will certainly gear you toward the right program for the money that you want to spend each month. It works just like dental insurance that you get from when you're at work. You can buy into it. And it's the prices determined by your geographical area. They determine that by zip code. In our area here in Scott County, good plan through Delta Dental will run you about $24, $25 a month, somewhere in that range. So it's absolutely worth the effort. And the only requirement is that you're a primary care patient at the VA Medical Center.
So does that mean that anyone that has 30% or more disability and gets their health care from the VA Medical Health Care Center, then they're eligible?
Actually, it doesn't matter if you're service-connected or not. As long as you're getting your health care at the VA Medical Center, you can get this program.
Okay. So anybody that's going out there getting their primary care is eligible to sign up for this. And where do they go? As usual, I suppose they start with you.
Yep, they start with us. We have all the information here at our office. We'll put them in touch with the people they know. Some of the applications are done on the phone or online. Some are done by paper. We can certainly steer our clients to that to the site where they can get that information. And there's even online calculators so we can help them determine what the cost of the plans will be in their particular area.
So if they're interested in an inexpensive dental insurance program, then get a hold of your county veteran service officer.
Absolutely.
Now, Todd, we're almost out of time, but I know you've got a message that you give us every time for our veterans and what they should do if they have any issues.
If you have any questions at all about what's available to you as a veteran, or if you've never been in to see your veteran service officer, come in and see us. Bring in your DD-214. You have the only true original. You need to get that protected by having us record it. And you can find your county veteran service officer by going online to macvso.org. Click on the directory, and it's done by county, and you'll have no problem getting a hold of us.
Todd, keep up the good work, and thanks for joining us again today.
Thanks, Tom. Appreciate it.
This is Todd Kubinski, the Scott County Veteran Service Officer. We're just about out of time. If you have a mailbag question or suggestion for a topic you'd like us to address, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com and click on Contact Us to send us a note. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Dr. Melissa Pelusny, Captain Marion Belinsky, Amber Greeley, Todd Kubinski, Commissioner Larry Shelado of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Rick Nash. Please join us next week as we'll hear about the proposed budget cuts that may affect the Minnesota National Guard's ability to respond to disasters. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
You've been listening to Minnesota Military Radio with Tom Lyons. Tom is the founder and owner of Phalon Partners Limited, a Twin Cities merger and acquisition firm. This has been a production of Clear Channel, MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com, the Minnesota National Guard, BeyondTheYellowRibbon.org, and the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Podcasts of the show are available at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.